It's the best of Drew and Mike show, and that means it's time to mention our best of sponsor, Scott Kuniff of Coldwell Banker Weir Manual. Scott's been getting phone calls lately. I'm so excited. Hey. The last call I think he had was from somebody who wanted to buy back a house they'd lost in some horrible, and it was wasn't worth a lot either, but he was fighting with this guy. It's like, oh boy, that's, oh, we're trying to send you some good, solid buyers who are looking for their first home or looking to list their home. But Scott's a good guy, and he does get weird questions because we give his phone number out so much, and he answers them all, and he says he's happy to do that. So I was glad he got some calls from some regular people who were actually.
Replies.
Yes, he does.
To everyone.
He does.
No matter what.
And his word is his guarantee. If he doesn't know the answer, he says he'll get it. And he's happy to text with you. He will text in drops, too, from his phone number at 248-797-7746. He's the rising star, as selected in the entire area by Coldwell Banker Weir Manual. And that is
great, Scott!
Very reputable real estate company. He was quite pleased with that award. 248-797-7746 or S. Kuniff at CBWM. And let's see. What is going on? What's going on this weekend? Is there anything special going on? No, Tigers in town.
Mother's Day.
Right. Oh, Mother's Day.
The old Mother's Day weekend.
You know, that's got to be early.
Hi,
or something.
Mommy.
How could I not know Mother's Day was coming? I just found out. Did they just schedule it? Did they just, like,
yeah,
months ago? Oh, we've decided this Sunday's Mother's Day.
Yeah, we've changed it. We've just moved it up a week.
Is it like the NFL draft? Because they just all of a sudden said, the NFL draft Sunday, by the way, or Friday, yeah, or whenever it was.
They've also moved Mother's Day to Nashville. So
the bachelorette parties didn't even know there was a draft, and they had plans. And
Julie and I got an argument about Memorial Day, because I said, I don't know when it is. Because it's the same every year. I said, no, it's not. It's always a Monday, and I don't know what Monday. She goes, you're 43 and you don't know? I said, no, I have no idea. You let me know the week before. I don't know. Do you know when Memorial Day is?
Yeah, the 31st.
No, but
no, it's
what's
last
the rule?
Monday in May.
It's the last, okay, that's what it is, the last Monday. When's Labor
Isn't
Day?
Isn't it fun, though, when you're in an argument with a girlfriend or a boyfriend to really demand, insist that you are as dumb as they're implying you are?
Yes.
Like, no, I don't know when Memorial Day. I have no idea.
It's
it reminds
true.
Me of saying that I don't know where to get light bulbs, because, but actually, I really didn't. I mean, I wasn't really working that hard at it, but.
Really? I don't know where to get light bulbs.
Internet,
I hadn't bought light bulbs in decades, so I didn't. Where do you get a light bulb? Oh. It was kind of like Ray when Pete. Wait, when Pete.
Anyone knows how to dial the police?
I don't want to call the police. I never call the police.
Any
idiot knows you dial 911. Okay,
911. Eh?
911.
He was amazed by it as he was doing it.
He was. I don't think Peter needed to pick up the extension either and get involved in the conversation, but he did. Oh boy. Hey, so you know, we didn't get into this on the show yesterday, but the Colorado school shooting, and I had no idea until you told me there was a security guard there that was armed, and this is what, you know, a lot of people go, they should have security guards, and unfortunately, this didn't work out. I think we have a quote of the guy saying it didn't work out so well, or something like that, the actual audio from the security guard. I mean, I hate to do this, but this is out there. It's on network
news.
At least
the police released it.
Hmm. Yeah, that didn't work out well, didn't it? That didn't work out well at all, did it? Okay, that didn't work out either. Great, I'll just shut up now. The first part was good, though. The second part wasn't good at all. Okay, great. But the first part was wonderful. It was on point. Okay, you want me to continue, or should I just keep embarrassing myself from further? Okay.
He responded. I guess that was the first part. But then he did.
He also caught one of them.
He unholstered his gun and he took a shot, and he may have hit a
nobody knows.
May have hit a cop.
And friendly fire.
Maybe a student too.
No, it's crazy.
Nobody knows.
And that's the problem. Is I don't think when you hire someone to be a security guard at school, you always get the best guys.
But he did apprehend one of them.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's I guess on the scale, it's almost like he wasn't there. I mean, he shot someone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a bonus.
I think he did a better job than the Marjorie Stoneman dude. ran away.
He didn't even run. He got in his little go-kart.
But, I mean, that guy, it's like he wasn't there either. So in this guy's case, I mean, shooting two people versus he took one down, I don't know. I kind of wish he wasn't there.
Yeah, I don't think the sheriff deputy appreciated him being shot at, too, when he's trying to take down a school shooter.
So that was kind of a unfortunate thing to find out. I'm sure they'll tell us more. And also, you had mentioned the sex-crazed final weeks in America's elite colleges.
Man, I didn't know it was this wild at some of these Ivy schools.
Hmm. Yeah, Ivy League schools, you know, it's funny. They're more like state colleges than
they want you to
anything
think.
Else. Yeah. Yeah, anybody can get in, it turns out. And David Hogg got in.
Yeah,
David Hogg, who couldn't get into UCLA, Chico State. There were two other schools, and then Laura Ingram said he was whining, and she got boycotted, and then all of a sudden he wasn't going to college.
Hey, if you're out there, fuck you.
And then all of a sudden he gets into Harvard.
Must have written a really good essay.
No, I think...
What?
He got into Harvard because they just said, yeah, we'll let you in. Who cares about your test scores? You're David Hogg. And David Hogg, by the way, did I mention this on the podcast, that there's a picture of him maybe 3 days ago with two security guards.
Again?
Wait, did I say that the other day?
No. But before, remember when he was in New York, he had security guards.
He had two security guards in this picture. And, I mean, that was the only thing you really noticed in the pictures. Well, David Hogg's got an entourage of security. And, of course, I assume if he had security guards, they're probably armed.
Sure.
But, you know, I guess he gets death threats. Nobody would give him death threats now, would they?
David Hogg?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he still? I mean, honestly,
I would think so. He's tweeted up a storm.
Haven't we kind of forgotten about David Hogg?
Yeah.
I don't really hear about him much.
It was like eight school shootings ago.
Yeah. Brandon, are you aware of David Hogg?
Eight schools still about like 2 weeks?
Yeah, right.
Eight school shootings ago.
Lately, he's been popping off on other political issues. For example, I saw a lot of people going after him and supporting him because he's very upset about the term illegal immigrants.
But that's an old routine for him.
But that's
like
what I see him doing.
A greatest hits routine.
That's what I see him doing. I see him throwing out tweets on, you know, obviously left politics, and then people fight him or they support him.
He seems to be staying in his lane lately, though. Maybe that's because of the STEM shooting. Puts him back in his lane.
Yeah, I was expecting him to be in Denver. Like, he would fly, like, parachute in, like, I'm here to survey the situation and to get involved in the aftermath because I have experience, but he didn't, thankfully.
Here Hogg comes to save the day.
Yeah. So, yeah, Harvard, it really, I don't know, I used to think it was such a big deal, and then when you find out, first of all, some of the smartest people don't get in.
Wait, one last Hogg note.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, wow, he tweeted a sports thing. I didn't know Hogg liked sports. And it turns out it's the Denver Nuggets coach's thoughts on the shooting at STEM. It's like, really? You can't even comment on the game, Hogg?
I don't think he likes sports.
Well, clearly not, but I got excited. Maybe there was more depth.
17.
Maybe there's more depth to him, but apparently not.
Well, I wish he'd show us how to use a democracy, since we don't know how. I don't think he's used it terribly well either.
He has either. No.
Well, anyway, these seniors at Harvard, this one... Well, John, the class president at Columbia, rather, he got some advice from his predecessor. It's like, okay, as if it's like Clinton turning the country over to Bush.
They write a letter and put it in his desk.
No, stupid. How cute. She said, Your best friends are going to ask who put them down for senior scramble, and you can't tell them. Avendano, now 23 and applying to medical school, tells the Post, it was probably the hardest thing I had to deal with in my tenure.
Oh, because school is so easy?
Apparently. The senior scramble, also a blanket term for end of senior year hookups, is a tradition as well known as beer pong at many elite schools. Why would this be at elite schools? I would think it makes them sound more trashy than state schools.
Maybe they're elite because they save it for the last week, whereas opposed to state schools are getting it on all year long.
In the final days of college, students devise a bucket list of classmates with whom they want to get cozy and submit it to a governing body, such as a student-designed website or computer program.
Nice.
I got so many messages from people essentially insisting there must have been a mistake or a bug in the code because they thought someone definitely put them down.
Oh, you're not as hot as you think you are, huh?
Says Avendano of his stressful time. The chicks put people down? They're just going to bang?
Yeah, they match them. Yeah, chicks like to have sex too, man.
I would think, first of all, what about, does the person have to screw you if you put them down?
Well, no, it's like a matchmaking thing.
So if the two people put each other down, then it happens. But wouldn't that happen anyway? If the two people both wanted to have sex with each other, wouldn't it have likely happened by then?
For Gen Z?
I don't know.
I don't know. Or
wouldn't they have flirted with each other and dated? I mean, it just seems. And what's the chance in a school that big that two people who are completely unable to make a move on each other that they would put each other down? I don't know. I'm questioning this.
This lowers the barriers, though. They don't have to. They can just cut to the chase.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So
and
they don't
go home for summer.
Do they find...
It's the last week. Yeah. Right, yeah.
And then they're gone.
Yeah, so it's poof. It's done.
You don't have to see.
For Gen Z, the real world and the virtual world just completely overlap.
Well, let's just say, for example, I'll just so I don't embarrass anybody, let's just say Trudy puts me down, and I don't put her down. Do I find out that she put me down?
Well, that, I don't know.
I'm her.
I think so, because isn't that what that person's complaining
about? I didn't think
you'd want me. The person's complaining about that.
I mean, but do you find out, like, okay, here's, okay, you only want to screw these two chicks, but these nine chicks all want to bone you.
Yeah,
they do, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, that sucks. I think it's bullshit for the people who throw themselves out there and the guy didn't put them down.
The guy goes, okay, change my list and put those nine people on it.
Yeah, exactly.
He didn't know.
This generation communicates in symbols oftentimes where the rest of us use words.
Ah. Ooh, la, la.
So these people were upset because they just couldn't believe someone didn't put them down. I see there's a lot of matches that people thought was going to happen.
Well,
and they did
Harvard?
Not. At Columbia.
Oh, Columbia.
Heck, I guess, but it's an Ivy League tradition. As first class marshal out of Harvard's 2019 class committee, Catherine Zhang put her smarts to use by meticulously planning senior week activities for her classmates. That includes overseeing the creation of Match 19.
Nice.
The online algorithmic matchmaking system that pairs students for the last chance dance.
Hot.
Basically, it has all the names of the seniors you can type into the website. Students are given the opportunity to select 19 names from the Cambridge Mass School's 1,600 seniors. I don't think that was a quote, actually.
Users can opt for a friendship match. No thanks. Ooh. Someone they wish they got to talk to more.
Oh,
I wish I got to talk
God.
To her. We've been here 4 years and I never got to talk to her. Or a romantic one. The forum is open for 1 week. Similar to Tinder, students are notified of any matches. Co-eds take it from there out to coffee, maybe upstairs to somebody's room.
Uh-huh.
I bet half these people don't need to have sex.
What?
I don't know. Most students see the last chance dance as a rite of passage.
This is something really exciting to cap off your year. The last chance dance happens within a week or so that we actually graduate. It's very much meant to be one of our last hurrahs.
The last chance dance takes place at a club off campus. Matches are always released before the dance. Now, this sounds really nerdy to me. I don't think
of course it's nerdy, but they're still getting it on.
The whole point is you're having
some
sort of relation, usually physical, with someone in the graduating undergraduate class. It was for seniors. Although she's graduating in May, Jasmine Peach doesn't plan to squeeze in any more hookups this year.
Anymore?
I've scrambled with everyone I wanted to at this point. Nice. I want someone who knows how to treat me well, both emotionally and physically.
All right.
If they don't know, I'll show them.
I'm kidding. She didn't say that.
Because
in,
just,
out, in, out, three times.
There are just some people I've scrambled with that do not know how to pleasure other people and just focus on themselves.
Mm. Said that, too?
Hey, couldn't help notice you guys Frenching over here. I love it. You know, glad you guys are enjoying each other's mouths.
Columbia. The process culminates with a party at Little Plaza, their equivalent of the Quad, 40 days before graduation. This year's Hermesmen spotted some people heavily making out.
You don't find people at Columbia getting excited before the big game, but senior scramble is something everyone could get behind.
You like what you see, huh?
Horny.
People are back here is catching the light in the most beautiful way.
I think this thing is
going anybody else like bullshit. Making out?
You don't think they're getting on?
I don't
nerds?
Know. Maybe.
Yeah,
seems,
nerds get it on.
Seems so nerdy. It doesn't seem plausible, but who knows?
I just base it on the one time at band camp thing from American Pie. They're getting it on. Like crazy.
You get it on. Nice. The Drew and Mike store is open. Everything must go. 20% off. I think just aren't there a lot of sweatshirts and stuff in there?
Yeah, a lot of winter apparel.
I want a t-shirt.
How about like full zips?
Last night when I checked,
I don't know the name of it, but it's very comfortable.
T-shirts?
T-shirts, everything. The St. Patrick's Day shirt.
Oh, nice.
Just go there, use the promo code DREWBLOWS for 20% off your whole order.
Oh, I didn't even know there was a promo code.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Wait, so if you just go in there and buy stuff, you don't get 20% off?
No, you got to put the promo code in. Drew Blows. It says it right on the front.
Okay.
So can't miss forget it. Yeah.
Let's see the lady stuff.
It's a lady. It's the tank top.
The lady
top.
Stuff. Oh, okay. I got that.
I like that, man.
It's a good tank top.
It's a good tank. It's like a tank
now,
top.
I know you're not a natural beauty, but I think with the right clothes and the right look, you could be very striking.
In the bitch V-neck. There's a few of those left with Mike's.
I'm in between sizes.
Do we have a lot of stuff left overall? Or were we kind of running down?
Yes and no. It depends on what. There's a lot of the...
a lot of stuff, the stuff that nobody wanted, we still have.
Well, no, like the regular T-shirt with the logo on it.
Oh, okay. We should always have a lot of those.
Yeah.
I think.
But even right now, they're on sale.
Well...
There's no That'll more.
That'll never happen again.
There's no more thanks for listening to the podcast stuff.
Oh, yeah, those are huge.
There's a few more It Ain't All About You Sweetheart shirts.
Yeah, I like those. I thought those were cool.
Yeah.
And the art polo.
It Ain't All About You Sweetheart.
The burgundy polo.
Oh, that's a nice shirt.
I think so, too. It's comfy.
Did those shirts
Red
do well?
Red is his power color.
What's that?
Who's
those
the
shirts do well?
The polo?
The polo shirts?
Not as good as the other polo.
Mm-hmm. And that green thing today was enough.
Who's the model in the ladies?
She went through a very
t-shirt.
Rigorous process.
Really? Did you hire?
Are you talking about this one right here?
Yeah. I mean, none of
Trudy,
the...
I just want you to know, I asked the same question.
None of the...
I did.
Her?
None of the other shirts have somebody wearing them.
She's
and then
trying to get her career launched.
She's very cute.
No, this is a big resume booster. To be the Drew and Mike store chick.
But who is she?
You might see her in the same exact pose on other t-shirt places.
Yes.
That's stock. They just pull
Oh, yeah. Oh, they do that all. Yeah.
But really
you know what? There is a real model. It's our friend down in Tennessee, the news reporter.
Yeah.
Oh, her?
Yeah,
oh,
I can't
wait,
think of
she
her
model
name.
Our
nice,
stuff?
Nice friend. Again,
Carly Gordon.
Yeah, Carly sent us a,
oh my God.
A picture when we sent her a shirt. So we used her as the model.
Oh, that's great.
It's pronounced Gordon.
I'm sure we have
Does
her
Carly
express
know that? That she's...
I'm sure we have her express written consent.
That's pretty funny.
She doesn't not know it.
She doesn't not know it.
I mean, it's not a secret.
No,
I don't think there was a lot of advance permission granted, but she doesn't know by now.
She has a complaint.
She's a public figure. She knows
she
how
is
that
a public
works.
Figure, yeah. Yes. She did send the picture. It's funny how people actually look at it that way. She sent us the picture, so we can show it to a million people now.
Yeah.
She sent it to us.
She
copyright. Took it out in public, and she sent it to us, and we're out in public.
Actually, she does not own the copyright to it because it's not a selfie, so someone else took that picture.
Oh.
What? Man. What was the news story that we were talking to her about? We talked to her for a couple of days.
Oh,
the Dad
Cummins
stuff.
Oh, that's right. She was great.
Sadly. But there were some other things. You know what? And every time there's a story there, I'm thinking we should call Carly Gordon.
Should
Gordon
call her
again.
About the draft.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should have. She'd have been all over that.
Call her about the draft now.
I think the draft is pretty dead.
What?
We could call her about the bachelorette parties that were so.
Yeah.
And maybe find out if they did book that thing at like 3 days before the event, as those girls thought.
I didn't hear anything about the draft.
It was really funny. So the best, we had a few options this week because somebody sent us the infamous, that was about 40 minutes on the list that Kristen left Brandon before the wedding that somebody found, and we asked the audience if we should read it. I did not just take the liberty of reading it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was a lot of advanced discussion, and people were pretty insistent.
How much of the audience would have been like, you know, when you come out and you say, I don't know if I should read this, if the audience is going to say, no, you shouldn't read that.
I thought I was very honest about it, that
I'm still
conflicted.
I'm still mad at the audience for telling on us when we specifically said not to say anything.
Who are all these tattletales?
There's a lot of them, too.
Why do they tattle? I mean, they've tattled on things to Maz that really... Really caused some problems.
Oh, somebody tattled to D about something. You called her bombastic.
She is bombastic.
What? See,
she sent me a message with the definition of bombastic. She goes, I am loud.
I meant it in a good way. I mean, when D's in the room, you know D's in the room.
Yeah.
Isn't that true?
Oh, that's absolutely
true. Don't you think D's bombastic?
I would not say that.
You wouldn't say it?
No.
Why? Because you're going to have to hear from her?
No, well, because
she's going to bombastically question you about
it? I also know her very sensitive side, but.
Well, I didn't mean it in a bad way.
Well, I told her that you probably didn't mean it.
First of all, sounds like for someone to only reveal that, he called you bombastic. Maz brought her up, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah,
and it was like it was probably I'm going to guess a 75-second conversation.
This is her theme song.
What's the definition of bombastic? Okay, now I'm curious.
The definition.
It's like blustering. I think pompous, right?
Oh, no, pompous?
Not pompous. No. So, I would have said pompous. I don't think D's pompous at all. I like D. Everyone likes D. But D is not a secret.
She's not
synonyms for bombastic. Pompous, blustering, ranting, blathering.
Okay.
It's not that blustering. Wait, go back to that, Brandon. High sounding.
But with little meaning. Boy, I really mischaracterized D. Okay, I'm gonna officially apologize. Well, that was not a good word.
What I thought bombastic meant.
I didn't either. And you know, a lot of people that I've heard called bombastic, I've thought that I liked them.
Yeah. You give yourself a fork. I don't think I miss what you think I miss.
They sent me all these messages today while I'm in there, when I'm struggling to do a show, and Zeus is the listener who narked. And Zeus has been a listener since day one. And
why?
And Zeus, no, she loves this show.
Oh, wait, I thought you said Zeus.
Zeus.
I think if you heard it, if you heard my tone, you would know that I did not mean anything negative by it.
No.
D fills up the room.
She
does. And I mean, not because she's over. D's actually very curvy, and D's very attractive.
He's effervescent, yes.
Well, by the way, when did D leave WRIF?
Jeez.
Now some people have more stuff to tell D.
I have no idea. We weren't in...
Approximately?
We were still in the old building, so that's the time frame.
See, okay, that shows the power of D. I thought she was in the new building, because Mark said, I think she left around... I think
it would have been 96, end of 96. Because when I worked, I never met her until Bender's retirement party.
Oh, huh.
So she didn't work there when I worked there.
I couldn't believe that. I thought, no way, that's impossible. So D left such an impression on me, I thought she was there like 2005 or something.
That's hilarious. But so the thing about Zeus, though, is she...
She is 100 miles an hour, not in a bad way.
Oh, no,
she's got lots of energy. I know she's really good at what she does.
Oh, she's really creative, too. A lot of the commercials that you see on WDIU.
I'm kissing D's ass.
Are produced by her. She produces them, actually.
Oh, the real bombastic ones?
But, the levels are just cranked.
But Zeus, I was going to say, is in Florida because they transferred her down there, and that's... And we miss her terribly. And we're her only connection
now. He's been transferred?
No, I didn't know that.
Zeus, the person who worked with at DIV, who listens to the show and told Dee about this.
Oh, my.
So, yeah. So we feel bad that she's been, transferred down there. But we're her only link.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I know. She says it's not funny down there. She hates Florida.
I think Dee needs to listen to the show herself instead of us being told on and all these judgments being made.
A fair point.
Snitches get stitches.
On the best of this week, the 2017 Miss America Q&A, I don't remember it exactly, but those are always funny. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. This year's was a little bit lame.
It was, yeah.
Asked the same question, but...
what do you consider?
I know, that's the best of all.
Gold standard.
Come on. And then Sanjaya's mom. I completely forgot. Did we talk to Sanjaya's mom?
We did. We wished her a happy Mother's Day on behalf of Sanjaya because he had not called her yet.
Oh, my. Okay. And then Jason Derulo's plane fiasco. That was funny because that was my introduction to Jason Derulo. That's like the white supremacy sign. If I didn't do this job, I would have never known that the upside down okay was meant that white supremacy.
And I believe it's revealed in that bit, too, where we might have heard of him before that. Right, Joe?
Yeah.
I'm not going to spoil it.
There was a little more.
You'll have to listen to find out.
Yeah. And then Lou Ferrigno, who's here for Comic-Con. And he was actually...
He was funny.
Yeah, he's always fun to talk to. He's a good guy. But maybe they'll get us somebody this time.
I think he rags on you for checking him out.
He did.
Or something.
Yeah, he did. And then black dude with a white penis.
Yeah. Why self-explanatory.
There's always something in the best of all. I go, I don't remember that. Black dude with a white penis?
I do
really
remember.
Did that happen on our show?
It's so bizarre.
I know. It's pretty strange. So we didn't talk to the black guy with a white penis. We talked about
him.
About
him, yeah. Okay. He had a penis transplant.
Was he in... Oh, that guy. Okay, now I remember. All right. So while you're enjoying the best of Drew and Mike, hopefully you're thinking about our fabulous sponsor, Mr. Scott Kunath, who works for Coldwell Banker Weir Manual. He is a realtor. He used to work in radio for a long time, but he's transferred over to the
he's
real estate.
He's transitioning?
He is transitioning.
He's trans.
Very successfully. I think this is his third or fourth year now. And he was off to a pretty good start. And he had the... Now, this is
what
really...
What pronoun is he using?
He uses he.
Oh, okay.
This is my favorite part of the story was he had a choice to spend money advertising, doing what all the other realtors do. And I won't get into all that description. And then he said he was listening to the... He's a loyal listener to the podcast. And he thought, wait, I think I could do better advertising with these guys.
Absolutely.
Try and be their realtor extraordinaire. And so far, so good. And it really, and things were, I was feeling like, God, we ought to be able to do more for Scott. And then just recently, because it is sort of real estate time, springtime,
yeah.
He started to get a little more busy. And I'm so glad. That was kind of weighing on me. Like, well, why isn't this working better? But it's really
winter.
It's starting to cook. Yeah, winter's slow.
And winter.
We did keep him on at a lower rate because I wanted to keep him on.
Mm-hmm. Please use all our advertisers because Drew really does take it quite personal.
Yeah,
it's kind of a bummer.
It takes its toll.
I know Scott would be good. I know he because looking for a house is
good
not only
dude.
You need somebody who has expertise, but somebody you can stand to spend time with.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Seriously, because you spend a lot of time with him, and Scott's a good guy. So there you go. Anyway. Call Scott if you want to list your home or just find out what it's worth or if you need help in finding a new one. Or maybe you can refer someone to Scott if you have somebody but you've got a nephew or a son or somebody else or a friend. 248-797-7746. That's 248-797-7746. And he's east side and west side. He's lived in a lot of places and his mom, I think, is on the east side now and he's on the west side. So there you go. S. Kunath. SKUNNATH at CBWM and on to the best of the Drew and Mike Show.
Did you finish watching Miss USA?
Yeah, I did. And
who won?
Miss DC, Washington DC won, and she had a politically incorrect answer.
Oh my God.
Now wait a second.
What?
Yeah.
She's
I'll
like
tell
a,
you.
A Trump?
Her answer made no sense.
No.
Her opinion is different, but her answer made no sense. If she wants to say question was about health care, if it's a right or
is
a privilege.
Is it a right or a privilege? And she said it
it's
is
a privilege.
A privilege, which, not a right.
That's fine. That's her
she
opinion.
She went on to say that she has a job working for the military, and that's where she gets her health care, and that people need jobs.
Yeah.
So you can only have health care if you have a job?
According to her, yes.
Yeah, okay. So what if you're retired or...
No job.
Well, if you're retired, that would be...
Without a job or on disability.
But we know what she meant. She meant
that, okay, if that's what you want to believe.
Freeloaders don't get health care. I think that's what she's saying.
That's not what she said.
Get off your ass and get a job.
That's not what she said.
What did she say?
Hey,
she said we need jobs for people.
I take pageant answers literal. Exactly. I'm not reading into their answers.
Well, okay.
Her second answer was stupid, too.
What are you saying about her... privilege answer.
Well, my point is I think it's dumb for people to be mad at her opinion, even if I disagree with it. I thought her explanation of her opinion was really bad.
Okay, explain her explanation.
She said you have to have a job to have health care.
Pretty much.
She said we need jobs to have health care. And then she said something about Americans across the world, which I didn't know what that meant.
Geography is a difficult subject in pageants.
But I was mainly upset that she had
You're referring to the Iraq?
Yes,
the Iraq.
The Iraq
maps.
That was I would listen to that right now if you can find it. That was so damn funny. Ugh. Oh, that poor girl from South Carolina. She's, of course, still living it down, if that's possible.
She was on Tosh, wasn't she?
Didn't Tosh interview her later?
Yeah. She's made sort of a living off that dumb answer. She's been a lot of stuff for it. She's in other pageants, too, since.
Ugh. Caitlin Upton.
Is that her name?
Caitlin.
Yeah. Here you go.
Can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is? I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so.
U.S. Americans.
Because some people out there in our nation don't have maps. And I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as. And I believe that they should... our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa. It should help the Iraq and the Asian countries. So we will be able to build up our future.
What? Thank you build up, much. Build up our future.
That answer is so bad.
With finding something on the map.
You're so bad that Mario Lopez is laughing as she's saying. He knows it's that bad.
Oh my God, that is hilarious. What are the other? There's a couple other classics though we've had since then.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's a whole 6 minute version of bad answers.
Oh. But I mean, wasn't there one like 2 years ago that was just?
Yeah. Was she Utah? Wasn't it Kyle Van Noy's wife have a bad answer?
Yeah, I believe it was. Oh, that music I love.
I think that the rich need to.
Oops.
Supposed to be talking about the wage gap, the income gap.
I think that the rich need to be able to be giving, and I think the poor need to work hard, and I think the middle class need to come together and find an in-between. Thank you.
Do you think political correctness is hurting or helping this country, and why?
That's a very good question. I think that it's a balance of both. We definitely need.
Oh.
I'm sorry. May you please repeat the question once
more?
Oh!
Beat it.
Just light up a cigarette right now.
The U.S. is get more races grouped together and be able to be with each other in a.
I like when you were playing the little air guitar.
I'm playing the drums now.
I apologize. I think what we need to do is bring. We need to be more accepting of each other. And
oh my God, get
together.
Out of here.
That's what I think we need to do.
Miss Pennsylvania?
She's laughing in her own answer.
If you'll grab anyone.
Oh, Dick Clark.
Dick
this
Clark.
Comes from Judge number 5, Leo McCloskey.
Women's roles in the U.S. have changed dramatically since the 1960s. What changes would you like to see next?
Well, I'd like to see changes as far as women also, well, like President Clinton is doing, he's getting a lot of women in the House of Representatives. I think that also,
relax, take a second. Anything else on your mind?
Ms. Minnesota, do you think that your career prospects would be affected if affirmative action were dismantled?
Oh, good luck.
Only two.
I think that.
Good luck with that one.
The answer is no.
Affirmative action is important in your career, and I think that they work together. I believe that if you stand strong on what you believe, that you should use that in all aspects of your life, including your career.
Affirmative action in all aspects of your life. Interesting.
What do you consider?
How do you use it in your sex life?
And represent
you come
both.
With Judge number 3. That is Lisa Santos. Lisa.
Hi. Should unwed teenage mothers be allowed to collect welfare? Why or why not?
I don't believe that unwed teenage mothers should be allowed to collect welfare. We have such a big problem in today's society that...
Synapse not firing at the moment.
Please reach in.
Just cut away.
Gave up.
Judge's names for your question.
They cut away.
Shatner.
And your judge is
Shatner hosted
Baldwin.
This thing.
Yes.
Oh.
Is the media's need for controversy bad for sports?
Can you explain media's what need you mean for what? Is controversy in particular sport?
I could just read the question.
Okay,
is the media's need for controversy bad for sports?
What a stupid question.
There is a lot of controversy in sports as being role models, and I think holding them to the higher standard that they are, that I think the media shouldn't... Here we go.
Recent polls have shown that Irish Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think
it's worth another
is?
Listen.
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so. Because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over talking. Here in the U.S. should help the U.S., or should help South Africa, and should help Iraq and the Asian countries. So we will be able to build up our future.
Thank you very much.
She was South told, County. Just don't leave any dead air. Just keep talking. Fill dead air.
This is Van Noy's wife. With children. She was Miss Utah.
Women are the primary earners, yet they continue to
and your band's
earn
back.
Less than men. What does this say about society?
I think we can relate this back to education. Question. And how we are continuing to try to strive to... figure out how to create jobs right now. That is the biggest problem. And I think especially the men are seen as the leaders of this. And so we need to try to figure out how to create education better so that we can solve this problem. Better. Thank you.
Thank you, Utah.
Okay, honey, you'll be on Entourage in a few years and married to an NFL player. Ooh, this one's old.
God. I am especially proud to be a first-generation American and a resident of Hawaii, our youngest state. From the rocky shores of Hawaii to the beautiful sandy beaches of
that way.
Hawaii, America is our home.
Woo!
Wendy Malik, your question, wow. please, for Alabama.
Government tracking of phone records has been in the news lately.
Oh, good luck.
Is this an invasion of privacy or
what's been in the news?
Tracking phone records.
Why or why not?
I think the society that we live in today, it's sad that if we go to the movies or to the airport or even to the mall, that we have to worry about our safety. So I would rather someone track my telephone messages and feel safe wherever I go than feel like they're encroaching on my privacy.
I'm going to see all the nudes you put up in the cloud, though.
It wasn't that bad. It's fine. It's fine.
A cogent thought.
What do you prefer to have
if
you could only have one, and why?
Thank you for that wonderful question. If I had to pick out of five senses, I would pick seeing. Because seeing
She's hideous.
Is the best sense that we can ever see, because seeing is believing.
Wow. That's
just Mr. Drew. She looked like Amy Winehouse.
Wow.
A little bit, yeah.
Woo.
Did you see the bikini part of last night?
I did not.
You know, everybody's making a big deal about the question and answers, but the bikini part was really funny because of the little fun facts they tell you about each woman.
Oh, yeah.
Did you catch that?
Well, there was a sob story about virtually every girl. There was some, I think it's a requirement, is that you have to provide a sob story.
What?
Something in your background.
So you overcame
your
something.
Your bedwetting that you overcame or... whatever, okay. Something.
Awful.
You had to overcome something to be in the pageant.
There are a couple fun facts that I just thought were really stupid in this. By the way, the performer was Pitbull last night.
Oh, wow.
Isn't he over?
I asked Vinny Stubbs.
You know, yeah, that was why he and his first girlfriend broke up. He was too good to dance to Pitbull at a party. And he admitted it, that he would not dance
Vinny?
To Pitbull. Yeah. Vinny Stubbs.
Too good to dance.
I wonder if he's still around.
Can you buy the subject? By the way, they're making a big deal. A lot of the finalists were born out of the country.
How many of the finalists?
I think two out of the three finalists
were born out of the country.
The winner was born in Italy, but she was a military kid. I think Minnesota's hot until she starts talking.
I thought the questions were horribly easy last night. They were such nerf tosses.
Did you hear this fake piece of info?
Minnesota! Minnesota has great stage presence. During rehearsals, even the other contestants stopped to watch her.
Fake!
It's not a fact.
Fake!
New Jersey!
New Jersey says she's a little intimidated by the swimsuit competition because she had never worn a bikini until last year.
Oh, bullshit. Oh, is that because she's nude?
What?
Yeah, I read about this whole situation.
It has been 21 years since a woman won Miss USA wearing a one-piece in the swimsuit competition.
It's hardly a
one-piece. Missouri break that streak?
Huh? What?
Tennessee.
Before leaving for Miss USA, Tennessee's grandmother gave her a silver dollar. She won here in Las Vegas in 1940s. It's now her good luck charm.
Oh,
wow.
Ooh.
California.
Standing 6 feet, California is the tallest finalist this year.
Damn, she's got some legs.
She'll be one of the three tallest Miss USAs ever.
Oh, wow. Interesting. She's not going to win because she's not that hot.
District of Columbia.
Oh, this is the winner.
District of Columbia was born in Naples, Italy, and is hoping to become the seventh foreign-born Miss USA.
That's a one-piece bathing suit, so that streak was broken this year.
South Carolina.
This is a dumb song.
This year's contestants
Full play.
Were able to choose their competition.
Sorry, Mark.
It's okay.
Very love them.
With the Chainsmokers.
Allowing each girl to showcase
it's not their best
her
work.
Own style.
New York.
New York has one of the most competitive state pageants. Hannah beat out nearly 200 other chances to compete here in Las Vegas.
Huh? She's pretty hot.
Illinois.
Too. I was going to say, she looks
Illinois
like she likes to screw.
Such confidence,
yeah.
I don't know why.
Which makes perfect sense because she's a professional dancer.
She's a professional dancer?
Yeah, that's a fun fact.
At a strip club?
What does that mean?
At Club
it's
Venus.
Skate skiing, a kind of cross country skiing that's great for workouts.
Hmm.
Oh.
Did you end up seeing Miss Michigan on here?
Is she on there?
Yeah, well, in the very beginning when they show everybody, she's pretty hot.
Really?
Surprised she got snubbed.
Where's she from?
Michigan. I don't know. I don't know exactly where.
It's hard.
But they said Michigan. I went, I'm in Michigan.
What's Sanjay's dad's name? What's his last name, I mean?
Malachar, Mr. Malachar.
Mr. Malachar, okay.
Yeah. It's like Vasudeva or something, V-A-S-U-D-E-V-A.
The big V.
Well, that's the dad's name?
Yeah.
How do you spell it again?
V-A-S-U-D-E-V-A. It's like Adobe.
V-E-N-I-S.
S-U-V-A?
Call Jim Fodson and ask him to approach.
Mr. Malachar.
Pronounce that for us.
Can't we just pretend he's Sanjaya again?
Yeah, that was kind of fun. Why, that was so
was
silly.
We're the two biggest idiots. And rightfully so.
I think he's going to answer the phone.
Hello?
Oh, hello. Is this Mrs. Malachar?
Yes.
Hi, Mrs. Malachar. This is Drew, Mark, and Trudy. We're calling from our broadcast. We had an interview set up with Sanjaya. Mr. Malachar had agreed yesterday that either he would be there for our interview or you would give us his phone number, apparently.
I don't know his phone number. He's not here at now.
Oh, that's interesting, because he called yesterday to wish you Happy Mother's Day, according to Mr. Malachar. And it would be on your caller ID. Let me just get it off there.
Hmm. Why would your son not give you his phone number? Is that a...
Sounds very
like cultural thing.
I'm not his. I'm his stepmom. So I.
Oh,
I see.
Still, I mean,
I'm surprised you'd make that kind of a division between his biological mother and stepmother. That's strange, but interesting.
I don't know. He did not give me a call. And I don't have his phone number.
Well, I'd like to wish you Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, Happy Mother's Day.
Sanjay doesn't want to.
It's kind of strange. I didn't know yet there was an issue there, but anyway,
is Mr. Malachar there?
Yeah, the big V. You see the home?
No, he just went out.
He went out.
Why don't you give him a call in half an hour after that? He will be back so that he can talk to you.
Okay. Yeah, I hope.
Malachar.
Hopefully, you can assist us. We were trying to make arrangements for Sanjaya wants to be on the new American Idol, and we were trying to facilitate that. And it sounded like maybe there wasn't that much interest. I don't know. It's crazy.
Okay. We have a petition going.
Okay, I will talk to his dad. And I will, you can call him half an hour from now. He will be back.
Okay. We'll try to do that. And if not, maybe we'll try tomorrow.
Okay. That would be great.
Okay. Thank you so much.
See ya.
You're welcome. Have a great evening.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
I think I might.
Bye-bye.
I don't know why I didn't look this up before, but Mr. Malachar said that he lives in New York now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. He's listed in New York. Should we try that?
Sanjaya?
Yeah.
Oh. What? He's listed.
Yeah, of course.
No, I saw a story on
Sanjaya.
Him.
Why wouldn't he be listed?
I guess. That's ridiculous.
No, keep me out of the phone book. I'm Sanjaya Malachar. After all, I finished seventh in American Idol 20 years ago.
Because people were voting for the worst singer.
Worst singer ever.
everybody has his phone number but his parents.
I know.
That's mean. I felt bad for her.
She could have checked the caller ID. Oh, but he didn't, he didn't call. That was odd. So was the old man lying?
There's a rift between...
He said he called for Mother's Day. Didn't he say he got flowers, too?
I don't remember.
The old man's credibility is really shaky.
Yeah.
The person you have called is unavailable right now. Please try again later.
Somebody drinking when they made this? What are you talking about?
Switch 2-2-7.
What? Sanjaya!
Bye!
Yeah, Sue. Yeah, whatever.
Did you know Sanjaya went to Todd Beamer High School?
Todd Beamer,
yeah, has a high school named after him.
Really?
Yeah.
How does Sanjaya go? Does that timeline sync up?
I know. I was thinking the same thing. He was on Idol.
Hang on, I'll tell you exactly.
It couldn't have been that long after 9/11, right?
No.
It couldn't have been that long.
He was on Idol in 2006.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So it would have been just named Todd Beamer High School, unless they did it the next year.
2003.
Oh, okay.
Here's the best part.
Look at all this information just flying around.
The Todd Beamer campus received a $670,000 grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation for staff developing.
I'm sure Melinda collected some award for that without Bill.
I'm sure her name's on the...
Or if they were both there, she grabbed it. She was the one that collected it.
You saw the Jason Derulo
story. Oh, my God,
right?
Did I see it. By the way, the comments for that story on Yahoo.
Oh, really?
There were so many comments. I've never seen such universally negative comments about a person in my life as opposed to this story today about Jason. Who, first of all, most people are asking, who is he?
Well, he's an R&B singer, and this is what's funny. He first came to my awareness by the Toilet Bowl Cleaners. They had a Jason Derulo fart song.
They did?
And I remember when that CD came in, I was like, who is Jason Derulo? Like, I didn't know any of his music. But apparently, I don't know, I guess he's been around, it's probably been about 10 years now he's been around.
He flies commercial, he can't be that big.
Well, but he spends $1.6 million a year on American Airlines.
Wow.
Ooh! Well, why do you fly private?
I don't believe that to be true, and who knows how much they're spending on an
airline. I don't really care what he spends, you still have to pay for your bags. I mean, the point a lot of people are making, okay, here's what happened. He arrived with, what, four other guys?
I think there were more than that, there were like 9 or, yeah, whatever.
Well, anyway,
there are a bunch of people.
They had 19 bags, and the flight was taking off in 45 minutes from when they arrived. So,
19 bags.
Yeah. So to check in would have taken so long. I think it was determined that you're better off leaving one guy to check the 19 bags, and the rest of you try and get on the flight.
Yeah.
So they took off. They got on a plane, and then the guy checking the 19 bags said, "This is going to cost $4,000 because he had all the extra bags."
Right.
And he went apeshit because he's a preferred flyer, and he gets 3 bags on for free, but he wasn't there.
Mm.
And this guy, it looked like a guy had 18 extra bags, I guess.
Do you believe the $6,000 anyway? Because that's just what his buddy said they're charging.
No, I don't believe that, because I heard somewhere else it was $3,000, and then the airline was disputing that. So I don't know what the hell happened. Anyway, the plane was already moving towards the runway. This guy went so apeshit in the plane over the couple thousand or 3,000 or however much money it was, he got the plane turned around and the plane went back to the airport.
The terminal?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I don't think it was that far out, to tell you the truth. It had left the bridge, but I don't know how far.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if it was on. I don't know if it was like just about to take off.
Tarmac, yeah.
But it had left. I've never seen a plane go back. I've never, ever seen it. He must have really raised a stink. Because, anyway, when the plane did get reconnected and let him out, the pilot, I guess, chewed him out like, you know, this is bullshit and, you know, whatever. Probably because he was late and because you don't change your mind.
Yeah, no.
Once you're on the plane, that's kind of crap.
You're going.
So his thing was, the pilot was talking down to me and then there were 15 cops waiting for him.
Did you hear him explaining it, though, and talking about it?
Who, Jason Derulo?
Yeah.
He said that the pilot was talking down to him, I think.
Yeah, but did you hear, he quoted it.
What did he say?
So TMZ talked to him, and he claims the pilot's like, "I want these motherfuckers off my plane," which I don't know if that's really true. And then the other time when he was doing it himself, he's like, I want these guys off my fucking plane. So I just don't believe that he cursed at him.
He He said there were 15 cops waiting for him when he came off the plane.
Right on.
Yeah, and he was very embarrassed.
Does not surprise me, by the way. When you fuck with a plane,
yeah,
you're going to have 15 cops.
There should be.
If you spend
how black you are or white you are, what?
If you spend $1.6 million flying on American Airlines, is $6,000 really that much to you?
Well, that's the other thing I don't understand.
Why don't you just pay it?
And he can write it off because it's part of his business.
And then take care of it later. Yeah, that's right. True.
Traveling.
The whole thing is so stupid. Well, that's what so many people have commented and said. If you're such a big shot, then what's a couple grand? Why are you so upset about a couple grand? Why get to the airport 45 minutes before your flight and then making a big stink? It just all smacked of a big-time star. It's not really that big-time.
Yeah.
And screaming racism, too, that really pissed
Well, once again,
off.
He contradicts himself there because he admits he wasn't arrested because he's famous.
All the airline people connected with it said there was nothing about race that ever entered into it. Nothing in the conversation. Nothing about who he was. He was late. The guy had 19 bags. They charged for the bags. That's all there is to it. I don't know what... He seemed to think that because he's a preferred customer that they would just blow off the bags.
No, that's how they make their money. That's their bread and butter, bag fees.
I guess it is how they make their money because they've been making money ever since they've been doing that.
Do you want to hear from this ass?
Sure, yeah.
All why right. not? Can you pop me up, Jay? Oh, you got to watch an ad first, though, of course.
Can I get a text?
Somebody sponsored Jason Derulo's freak out.
Yes. How does somebody sponsor that so fast?
I think somebody sponsored
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what video they put up. They're being sponsored.
Some agency called and said, I want to sponsor Jason Derulo.
They thought it was 19 bags attributed to one person.
They didn't think nothing.
That's what they said.
Don't let these PRs tell you anything. Because we can call right now and they'll tell you the policy.
They were probably playing politics saying, okay, well, he's the only one on this flight. We got to charge you for all this luggage.
But the point was that they said they would take care of it.
Yes.
You not understand. This is concierge key.
And by taking care of it,
this is somebody who is spending $1.3 million on your airlines.
Oh, get off it.
Every single year.
Yeah. You don't know how much you're spending every year.
This is not Joe Schmo. You know what I'm saying? This is not that situation.
Yeah.
I'm not asking for anything extra. I never want anything extra. I only ask for what I pay for. Before we leave, the pilot gets on the system and says to the whole plane that a lot of you are going to be missing your connections because there are certain passengers that we have issues with.
He has to explain why they're going back to the gate.
Throwing you under the bus, under the plane.
So we start getting cursed at by like random people. When I get on the JetBridge, the pilot says, I want these motherfuckers off my plane right now. I said, listen to me, sir. You're not going to talk to me. You're not going to talk down to me. I'm not your son. You're not going to do that.
What?
And then one of the American Airlines representatives steps in and he's like, that's the captain. I said, I don't give a fuck who that is. You're not going to talk down to me just because you're a captain of a plane. I'm a man. We get out.
Get
your own captain.
No, you're a fucking loser, man.
Pay your baggage fee then.
Is waiting on us, which is obviously embarrassing. Being that I'm a public figure, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't know who the fuck you are.
Get off my jet bridge. You get off my jet bridge. All of this, like everybody is. Yeah.
And I'm sure you were calm.
As soon as they find out who I am, everybody relaxes.
What?
That's not okay.
You want a public apology from the airline?
Oh no. Those people shouldn't be working at American Airlines. Those people should not have a job.
So we'll see about that.
The pilot head needs to roll. That was unacceptable what he did.
And he was rude.
And two times, he told the entire plane.
Yeah, he had explained to him
about personal matters that could have caused fights. If we weren't.
Oh my God! Oh my God! Is he still talking?
There's so many things.
The guy standing next to him, who's with him, is
who is that?
I think in his head he's going, "Drew's full of shit, man. None of this happened."
So he thinks people should be kissing his ass as he's causing a plane full of people to possibly miss their connections or be late. And I mean. It's not a small deal to turn a plane around. I'm kind of surprised they did it.
Yeah, it's not like you turn a car around. It's complicated.
Well, no. He must have been that big of an ass.
Yeah, obviously.
That the pilot wanted him off.
And besides that, a pilot can talk to you that way because you can't fly.
Yeah, exactly.
Learn to fly.
Airplane.
You don't like it. Rules. Learn to fly your own plane.
Do you want to hear the toilet
bowl Clark
cleaner
did.
Song?
Yeah, sure.
It's Jason Derulo. A little different.
I hope they did talk to him that way, actually. I hope they did talk down to him. He should have been talked down to.
Before he sings his songs, he sings his name for everybody in the world to hear. And I bet he does the same before letting some poop fall out of his rear. He what? Says, Jason Derulo's about to do a little poo.
How many views on that since this incident?
Only 84 total. So
wow.
That he is Jason Derulo. He wants everybody to know that he is Jason Derulo. He says Jason Derulo's about to do a little poo, yo. In the men's room before he goes into the stall and lets his poop just a fall. If there's another guy washing his hands over there, he wants that guy to be aware. So he says, Jason Derulo's about to do a little poo, yo. He wants everybody to know that he is Jason Derulo.
This might be one of their better songs.
So,
not bad.
He is Jason Derulo. He says Jason
Derulo. I don't know who he is. I still don't know who he is. I just looked
him up.
Just
a singer, R&B singer.
I don't know any of these songs.
You might know one of them because you heard it on the radio.
That's maybe cool. I would.
I couldn't pick him out of a crowd of one.
The fact that he's flying commercial just, to me, lowers him in my estimation of in terms of being a big star.
Yeah, no, he's not that special.
Don't all the big stars fly private planes? Or I guess maybe that's a little dramatic.
Yeah, well.
I mean, Johnny Depp.
Really, really big.
I would expect to.
Stars.
Yeah, okay. So he's not that big a star. Whoa.
Oh, there's my phone.
Oh no.
Ooh.
Searching for a way to donate.
I hear the intro to the Incredible Hulk. That must mean Lou Ferrigno's on the phone. Lou.
How are you doing?
Hey Lou. How are you doing, Lou?
Pretty good. You sound like I hear voices talking over you.
Yeah, we've got Drew. Well, actually that was the intro to the Incredible Hulk.
Okay.
Just to celebrate your arrival. But I'm here, it's
Thank
Drew.
You.
We've got Mark.
How are you?
How you doing? Pretty good.
Great.
Looking forward to come there.
And we've got Maz here as well. We're all big fans.
Big fan, Lou. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Yeah, comment.
Yeah, they told me before I come on the show, he said you could swear all you want. I don't
swear. Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard Lou swear.
Lou, I really appreciate your sense of humor. You know, and I love you, man. I thought you were really funny in the movie, and I thought it was just the way the whole script went. I really got some good laughs out of that. I really appreciated it.
Well, that was the best comedy 2008. It was hysterical. You know, it's about romance and bromance.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Very underrated movie.
But, Lou, you know, the whole idea of him trying to sell your house and you've got a statue of yourself. I mean, you made fun of yourself, and I really appreciated it.
Well, I enjoy it because I did the TV series King and Queen, and then one day the writer, director John Hamburg, sent me a script at a meeting. He said, "How you like the script?" I said, "I love it because incorporate yourself in this situation." So it's funny because I say, "Don't call me a Hulk. I'm a real person." So it's funny with Jason Segel at the beach. I mean, that was hysterical.
Oh, that was a great scene. Yeah, you put him in the old sleeper hold.
Yep.
Lou,
that's a legitimate sleep hole.
Lou, of course, everyone knows you as the Incredible Hulk, and I was watching Hulk highlights because we knew you were going to come on. And, of course, when Bill Bixby's eyes get that incredible look, and here comes Lou Ferrigno as the Hulk, and the clothes rip and all that, and yet still it looks like Bill Bixby had some capri pants on underneath. Somehow the pants still fit. How did that work? Was that ever explained?
Well, it was funny when Bill's eyes turned white. It was almost like a rush. It's almost like taking drugs and go all psyched up because you could see the Hulk. And the question about the pants, CBS at the time said nothing to be shown below the navel. I know it's kind of silly where you see me as the Hulk and then I change back to Bill and Bill's always buying a pair of pants. Or he had the pants on him already. It's only one button open.
Yeah, somehow those pants didn't rip off, but I was thinking as I watched scenes of the Hulk that you must have gotten paid by the person you threw through a window, because there were a lot of people thrown through windows on that show.
I know. I did all the stunt work myself, and I was very careful because of my strength. I could have really hurt someone, but I was very careful. No one's ever really got injured.
Wow. How much can you bench, Lou?
In my prime, 560.
560? Wow.
How about now?
Now that I do bench presses, I do machines and lightweights because I want to hurt my joints, so I just train for maintenance.
You know, I was watching a clip of Lou. You were working out with your son. Is it Brent?
Yeah, I got two sons, Louie and Brent.
Okay, you and Brent were working out, and Brent was lifting quite a bit of weight, and in fact, he was struggling. It looked like maybe he wasn't going to be able to make it. And you were kind of behind him, and you were talking to a blonde, and I thought you weren't really paying attention, and maybe he was going to get crushed. But but you reached over. You reached over with a little fingertip and pulled it up there for him.
Still got it.
Yeah, that's right.
Lou, you mentioned Louie. Did he played at USC, didn't he?
He did. He's an actor now. He's doing two different TV series on Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. and CIS. So he's a working actor, so he's doing very well for himself.
Good for him. But he was there when they won championships.
Well, I think he got injured and he moved off of football, but he played one game, I believe.
But the reason I bring it up is, I thought I read somewhere that you were actually on a football team in the CFL, too, for about a second.
I try out for the New York Jets, and then I end up going to Canada. I played for the Toronto Argonauts for a short time. And then eventually I actually cut because it wasn't my passion to be a football player because I never played before because I wanted to go back to bodybuilding.
Well, you know, it's interesting. With all your strength, people would think, well, gosh, football would be so easy for Lou Ferrigno. But, you know, if you've played sports, of course, you know it's not that easy. What was it about football that was hard for you, even with your incredible strength? What was difficult in terms of making that transition?
Well, I've always been a bodybuilder, but my father tried to force me into football because of the money. But you have to love to hit. It's a very highly skilled game, and that was the... I didn't want to injure myself, and I never played before because of my strength and speed. I was at the time I ran a 40 and 4.6. I was very fast.
What?
But I just don't like I don't like hitting people.
Wow! But that must have been right before then pumping iron, which is 40 years ago. Are you surprised how huge pumping iron got and still is even to this day?
Well, it's so huge because still it's just myself and Arnold were still the two most famous bodybuilders in the world, and we made the crossover to the mainstream.
Yeah.
Still today, it still holds up.
I want to mention the Motor City Comic Con hours for this weekend: Friday from 12:30 to 7, Saturday from 10:30 to 7, Sunday from 10:30 to 5. And while Lou Ferrigno will be, there's also a lot of other people like Barbara Eden from
Barbara
My Dream of Jeannie, Anthony Michael Hall from God, so many
Sean
different
Michael,
movies.
Sean Astin.
Rudy. Yeah.
Well, it's a great pop culture. They have a lot of diehard fans in Michigan, especially in that area, and respecting over 60,000 people. And then, you know, I feel so appreciated when I go there because they really into the Hulk, you know, the comedies I've done, my physicality, and then the fans get really excited. One of my favorite shows, and they're super nice people.
Hey, are you going to sign anything for The Apprentice? Because you were fired by the President of the United States.
I know that, but I was the only athlete to make it to 9 shows, and he helped me raise $100,000 for ALS and muscular dystrophy.
Wow,
awesome! No, you did a great job on that show. And how was Donald to work with?
Donald's fine. I mean, he was good to me. You know, he's a loose cannon.
So he is that.
You never know. You never know what comes out of his mouth. But one thing about Donald, you can't bullshit him. He respects if you're a hard worker. And I have fun. I learned so much of that show. It was a lot of fun.
I know you're a fan of Donald. You predicted a Trump victory back in time. Now, how do you feel now? Some people who supported Trump, actually most seem to still be behind him, but some people, I read where Dave Chappelle said he regrets saying give him a chance. do you still feel this can turn out okay?
I feel safe with him, especially, you know, what we're going through with this country. Because I've been a sheriff now for 12 years. Mm. But what's going on in this country with you know, with all the shooting and all the threat of terrorism and war situation, I think Donald is the best guy because he really cares about the American people, cares about us, and I just feel safe with him.
Are you still tight with Arnold? And if you are, do you argue with him about Trump? Because he's not a big Trump guy.
Yeah, I never really deal with politics. I mean, everybody has their own different opinion.
Are you still tight with Arnold?
That phone.
Oh, yeah, I see him all the time.
Is that your phone there ringing, Lou?
No, let it ring. It's just my. I could have cut it through the voicemail.
Is it going to make you angry?
It's a loud angry phone.
Hey, I was dying to ask you when I saw you talking when you and Brent were working out in this one video online, and that blonde seemed to be getting your attention. I thought, gosh, I wonder if Lou Ferrigno likes. Wow, that's a loud phone.
You can get it, Lou, if you want.
I wonder if Lou.
What's that?
I wonder if Lou likes. really muscle-bound women, women that work out like you do. Are you attracted to women with big muscles?
No, I respect what they do because it's a sport. I put my own contest called the Fibrational Legacy. We have a lot of female competitors, but I've always been, you know, I'm married to a woman for 37 years. I like the feminine kind, but the women that work out, they got the big muscles. I think it's phenomenal of them how they transport their bodies. So it's a personal preference.
They also have no boobs. The boobs are fat, and that all goes away. I've never been attracted to women with big muscles, so I'm kind of with you on that
one. Well, you know what it is. When the women diet hard for the competition, you know, they lose that the curves and everything. Then when they finish competing, then they retain back the shape they had before.
Yeah, it's absolutely madness.
Speaking of working out, I mean, you were well known for working out Michael Jackson leading up to This Is It. What kind of
20 years.
Yeah, what kind of exercises would you do with Jackson?
Well, Michael did like light cable work and mostly for conditioning, very light exercises for toning, stretching. So he was never into weight training because at the time he wanted to keep his tendons flexible and make sure that he won't sustain any injuries. He was a great guy.
But Lou, wasn't there part of you that's like, I want to get you really big biceps, Jackson? It would look pretty sweet.
What's that again?
Well, didn't you want to get Jackson maybe like some really big biceps? Wouldn't that look cool on Jackson?
Jackson, who is
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson. Yeah, he looks like he could bulk up a little bit. I think it would have been good for him.
Yeah, he didn't want to because he's such a wonderful dancer. He didn't want to put on his size. It's mostly about their conditioning and toning.
There's always that issue with other athletes, too. Lou, did you like the Hulk movies at all? I know the Eric Bana movie I saw, and I enjoyed it. I found it entertaining, but I just didn't find him credible as the Hulk. It was kind of strange that when he was the Hulk, it just seemed like the way he bounced around.
Yeah, the CGI stuff is garbage.
Well, the first one wasn't good, but the last Hulk has improved because it doesn't look as rubberish. But, you know, nothing comes up to the, like the series, but, you know, I do the voice for the Hulk, of course, and also the next one that's coming out, Thor Ragnarok, that's going to be a huge film.
Lou Ferrigno, Motor City Comic Con again this weekend. Lou, is there one day that you're there, or are you there all 3 days?
I'll be there all 3 days. I'll be doing the photo op. I'll be doing signing pictures, the posters on my table. I'll have some fantastic pictures. And the fans will be really excited. And then the best part is that everybody will walk away with a smile on their face.
Good. That's great. Cool. And of course, everyone, you know, some point this weekend, somebody's going to ask you to take your shirt off. And if I worked out as hard as you, I would want to take my shirt off. Do you have a favorite excuse to take your shirt off? Like...
I've taken my shirt off for 53 years. I think I could use a break now.
I just wondered if you had a stock reason why you, it's too hot in here, or you know, this material's bothering me, or you don't need an excuse.
I'll let you guys take your shirt off.
Hey, what kind of guy was Bill Bixby? I was a big Bill Bixby guy. Was he a good dude?
Great guy, smart guy, director, producer. He was my mentor, like a second father. I mean, I worship the guy. I love him.
Yeah.
Super nice guy.
Lou, do you have any fond memories of when you were on Battle of the Network Stars? Do you remember who was on your team, the CBS team?
Yes, we had Bob Conrad. We had David Letterman on the opposite team. On my team, I believe, was Catherine Bach.
Yep.
It was Scott Baio.
Catherine Bach.
I enjoyed it.
Remember Leif Garrett was on your team?
They're redoing the Battle of the Network Stars. They're going to start shooting in June. I'm going to be... Fast forward 40 years later, or the preview competitive, we're all getting together again.
Nice.
You know, I'd be remiss, Lou, if I didn't ask you about steroids, because people always associate bodybuilding fairly or unfairly with steroids in a lot of sports. And I always read, every time I read about steroids, all I heard about was it'll make your testicles shrink. So that was all I needed to know. Does that really happen? I mean, if you go in a locker room with a bunch of bodybuilders, will you see guys with pebbles for testicles? I mean, it's a weird question, but just curious.
I never look at other guys' dicks and balls.
I know. I do.
I hope you don't.
That's all he does.
Yeah, I do. I stare frequently. No, I just, if there was no testicles, I think I might notice. But that's a good answer to the question.
There you go. Okay.
Okay.
Lou, so you're an ace, man.
We'll never know. If bodybuilding locker rooms are full of people with no testicles, we'll never know because no one looks, except me.
Never know.
But, Lou, what about steroids under a doctor's, or if you have a doctor who's prescribing them to you? I mean, for bodybuilding, I mean, is that conceivable?
Well, here's what comes down to. Drugs don't make champions. It's all about great genetics. And doctors, you know, back then, I would say 30-some years ago, steroids were legal, but now it's illegal. And I don't recommend drugs, both genetics, because sometimes you have some guys that take every drug in the world that can't look like a Pirigno or Schwarzenegger. That's the way it is. It's all genetic. And drugs is just, you know, when you stop taking drugs, you go back to like you did it before. It's just very harmful.
I'm glad to hear you say that, Lou. Is there anybody Comic-Con who, for example, that you're real excited to see, one of your fellow stars that you get to hang out with a lot? You know, I mentioned Barbara Eden and people like that.
You know, I see a lot of the stars all the time. I think Barbara Eden, I love her. She's great. And who else I'm thinking about? Michael Rooker, he's a good guy.
Michael
Rooker.
Michael.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, Guardians of the Galaxy, of course, which is huge right now. Trudy was just talking about
nice,
the movie.
Nice guy.
Yesterday. Michael Anthony Hall, are you familiar with him?
Yeah, great guy. I like him. He's a nice guy. All the celebrities are great, you know, and they got a great group coming down.
Well, isn't it great to know that fans remember you after, I mean, some fans are from the Hulk, which is 30 years ago, and they still want to come shake your hand and take a picture, and then some, of course, I'm sure are fans from I Love You, Man, but isn't it amazing that people will continue to follow you and be a fan after all that time? That's got to be a great feeling.
Oh, yeah, because you're 3 decades of fans. You got fathers, you got grandfathers, you got grandchildren, and they, because of the TV series, so popular, that's why of all the movies out there, like, for example, my movie just came out last week called Instant Death. It's a great vigilante kind of film. Like that's where that just came out from Sony Pictures. You can check that online.
Like Charles Bronson, Vigilante.
Yeah, Instant Death.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I'm looking forward to it, Lou. And, of course, yeah. I Love You, Man. I mean, people see that all the time. So it's great that you're coming to town. I'm sure a lot of fans will come out. And we thank you so much for giving us time on the podcast.
Thank you. And don't look at other people's dicks and balls. Okay?
I'll try not to.
Thanks,
it's
Lou.
A little distracting. People get jealous,
yeah,
too.
Sure.
Thanks, Lou.
Hey, Lou.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Have a great
day.
Look forward to seeing you.
Bye-bye.
Ooh, that's a good man right there.
Lou Ferrigno.
Bye-bye. Good dude.
You got to hear Lou say dicks and balls.
Yeah, that was great. Great drop.
Hey, speaking of black cock and white cock, did we ever talk about the story on the air about the guy that got the penis transplant? Did I talk? I don't know who I talked to about it. But there's a guy, they did the third ever penis transplant in South Africa.
I don't think we talked about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, they did the third ever penis transplant in South Africa.
Really?
They get the penis.
From a white guy. And what? It was put onto a black guy, so now they have to tattoo it to make it the right color.
They couldn't find a black one?
No. Donors are few and far between.
Yeah, I guess.
And I think when you're getting that donated, you're not going to be too picky about which one you get. You just
Why are you
want,
picky about the
you
color?
You just want one.
What difference does it make what color it is?
Wow.
It'd be kind of
you have to get it tattooed.
Yeah.
I think for confidence.
Kind of racist.
For confidence.
For continuity.
He's already got a white cock. How can he have any confidence?
Then you're going to have to find out, you know. You're going to have to tell the person that's going down on you, like, so they're not shocked. And then they're going to wonder, why is this different?
Just do it in the dark.
Just
turn off the lights. Say a word.
I'm very shy. I'm very shy.
Wouldn't it be a novelty, kind of? Like... Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
A novelty. He's going to get gigs.
Go to Comic Con.
See the different cock colored person.
Huh.
Wow.
I'll have to find the full.
Does it work? Story. The question is, does it work?
Well, because they've done one before, they were surprised at how quick that guy recovered.
Oh, really?
Yeah, ahead of time. I got to find the story.
So it's a lot of micro engineering from what I understand.
Well, speak for yourself.
There's a lot of small blood vessels and stuff like that.
Yes.
So.
Many nerve endings down there.
Hang on. We're not leaving until you find the story.
Why couldn't they do that for Bobbitt then?
Well, because they had his penis.
That was amazing.
Why does he need that anymore? He should have that removed.
I know.
And a new
it was
one
a disaster. Him. Putting that thing back on him was a big mistake.
Yeah, but it's quite the miracle that they ever found it. I'm still just
oh,
amazed.
I know.
That
she threw it out the window of the car.
Moving car.
And a fireman found it.
I know. But it lay by the side of the road. Right?
And it was in grass, I think.
Which, because you know everybody looking wasn't really looking that hard.
No.
Because you don't want to be the guy who finds the...
Well, the guy that found it, I remember he said he made a rookie pick it up.
with his hands?
With his mouth.
Probably had gloves on.
He had to get it with his butt.
But the funny thing was, talking to Bobbitt, you know, I remember thinking, or asking him, like, John, you must have been petrified It's gone. You don't know where it is. You don't know where she is. You're going to the hospital. You're bleeding like crazy. And he's like, oh, they found it. And, you know, put it back on. It's okay. And, you know, I'm going to be in a porn movie Saturday. It's really Saturday.
I work for the Bunny Man.
I know. For a little while. Oh, my God. Oh, we should have talked. We should have asked Dennis. Next time we talk to Dennis, we'll have to ask him about Bobbitt's employee. We've already talked to him about it, but it's always funny to hear more.
We could always call Bobbitt and have him comment on the penis transplant.
Yeah, that's a great idea. We have not talked to Bobbitt in, what, 6 months?
It's been a while.
And then you could ask him about the Bunny Ranch, too, and how he feels about that.
There's the story. Go ahead and read that story.
About the firing at the Bunny Ranch.
And we can find him on Andrew. See if he's what kind of odds you want to set for if he's talked to Andrew in the last year?
Is he any closer to Andrew, his young son, who he met at the age of, what, 18 at the gas station? Yeah, he bumped into his son. That's how I met him.
Aw. Aw. Don't say aw.
He calls him Drew, though, doesn't he?
I think Andrew's better off.
Probably.
I know, but I feel bad for John Bobbitt.
I know. And it was a fat John's chick that he knocked up, too. He made fun of how fat she was.
Oh, what a dick.
Nice guy. The mother of his child that he bumped into.
Yeah, but at least it worked to make that happen, right?
Yeah. No, that was before that.
Oh.
Oh, wait. No, wait. That wasn't.
Did he do that with
Mark, was that after he got it reattached that he impregnated that girl?
Oh. Well, 18. When did he?
No, the kid's like 23 now, I think.
Did Bobbitt use the reattached? Really?
I think it was after. I really think it was. Yeah. The 40-year-old patient who's unnamed for ethical reasons lost his penis due to complications from a traditional circumcision. What?
Oh, no. Really?
Finally, April 21 this year, his organ was restored. Surgeons admit there's a color discrepancy between the organ recipient will be fixed with tattooing. Operation was performed by the same team who performed the first successful transplant December 14.
Who's the lucky tattoo artist?
I know. What a drag.
Well, you don't have to be much of an artist.
No. Now, after nearly 10-hour surgery, the hospital's on the map again for being the first location to successfully do the procedure twice. Within 6 months, a man's expected to regain all urinary and reproductive functions.
There's some good quotes in there from the doctor.
Patient's doing well. Professor Andre van der Merwe said, he's certainly one of the happiest patients we've seen in our ward. He's doing remarkably well. No signs of rejection. All the reconnected structures seem to be healing well. Van der Merwe and his team completed the first successful transplant in December. He spent years experimenting on cadavers, see which nerves, blood vessels, and other elements had to be joined to guarantee full function.
Cadavers, dongs.
First patient made a full recovery result. Doctors did not expect to occur until December 2016. Professor said they were surprised by his rapid recovery. Speaking of the time, he said, our goal would be that he would be fully functional at 2 years, and we were very surprised by his rapid recovery. Then in 2015, it was revealed the man was able to get his girlfriend pregnant after surgery, which restored the member after he lost all but 1 centimeter stump of his penis, following a botched circumcision. Wow, that's both
amazing.
That
he only lost 1 centimeter in his length.
His team's initial success, followed by Thomas Manning's operation, became the first American recipient of a transplant. After 2 follow-up surgeries.
Right now we all know his name.
After 2 follow-up surgeries, Manning said he could urinate normally and was able to walk around. Sexual function was still months away and reproduction wouldn't be possible because he didn't receive new testes. Manning's penis was amputated after he was diagnosed with penile cancer in 2012, never married and has no children. It took me a few days to look at it. Confidence comes and goes, Manning said, blinking away tears.
Aww.
It's one of those things that if you look at it, it doesn't look too good.
Oh, man.
Jeez.
Hey.
The first transplant patient that saw medical help after being left with a non-functioning
beggars
stump.
Beggars can't be choosers, my man.
I know. He's crying. Jeez.
There's lots of guys that cry.
If he had his testes, he might not be crying.
True.
By the way, Andrew was born in 1992, and the incident happened in 93.
So what?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Andrew preceded Lorena.
Huh.
Wow. Wow, that was taking some research, Jay. Was that easy to find?
Yeah, pretty easy. It took a little bit.
What did you look up? Andrew Bobbitt?
Yeah, just John Bobbitt's son, Andrew. Then there's a small story here about him paying a lump sum out for child support.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it
John
just,
paid child support? I'm shocked.
No way. Maybe once.
The story's from 95, and it just says John Wayne Bobbitt wanted to get attached to his 2-year-old son. He'll use money he made from his X-rated video, uncut, to pay child support for Andrew Williams, the boy he fathered in 92.
Had to say how much? He had to pay.
No, I mean, it's just like a one paragraph story. That's it.
Oh my God, I wonder how often John is late with that child support payment.
It says he will also make an unspecified lump sum payment to the boy's mother, Beatrice Williams.
She never let him see him, right?
I don't think so. I don't think John tried real hard.
Oh.
And even if he didn't.
I'll stop sympathizing with John Bobby.
I think it was when we brought it up was the only time he thought about it.